Hey, sports fans, did you know there is a convention just for you? Just like all the geeks have Comic-Con, now you have SportsCon. Be there July 13th and meet fantasy superstars like Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, and Patty Mahomes. These are just a few of the hundreds of players and personalities at the SportsCon this year. Not to mention your favorite people ever, Sleeper Wire and Eat Sleep Fantasy Podcast will be hosting the official fantasy draft party of SportsCon. We've got live drafts, draft boards provided by Draft Party USA. We've got raffles for signed jerseys courtesy of Prestige Sports Memorabilia, dinner, drinks, trivia, and much more. Tickets are limited, so get them now. When they're gone, you're going to wish you had one. Join us July 13th at Top Golf in Dallas for the best after party of SportsCon. Check out draftnightout.com for more info.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. I'm your host, George. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jason. Jason, are you ready to get into this mock draft?
Man, I am so excited to do a mock draft tonight. 12 teams, 3 wide receivers, PPR, single quarterback. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I figured when I set it up, I'd throw a little wrinkle in, add a third wide receiver. I want to see how that makes the values of the different players change, whether wide receivers go up, running backs start to fall. I'm curious to see how a 3 wide receiver requirement changes the draft, because I think it will. I just don't know how.
So before we do get into the draft, and I said let's jump right in, let's get to it. But one thing
we got a little house cleaning to do.
Yeah. So house cleaning to do. The first thing we need to mention is draft night out, guys. We are going to SportsCon. Sleeper Wire and Eat Sleep Fantasy. We're teaming up to have a booth at SportsCon, and after the SportsCon, that's when the real party starts. We are the official draft party of SportsCon. We're going to be doing draft night out at Top Golf, where your food's going to be included in your ticket. There's going to be multiple fantasy football drafts going on. We're going to have stranger trivia. We are having a hot dog eating contest. There's going to be all kinds of prizes. You guys want to get your tickets to draft night out. George, what do you think?
Well, I think you said a hot dog eating contest, and I think we're pushing for a Fletcher's, the original State Fair corny dogs.
Listen, that's a carryover from a previous episode
from the last release. But I couldn't go without saying it, Jason. The Fletcher's original State Fair corny dogs are so damn good, and I cannot do a mock draft without a Fletcher's original State Fair corny dog. I can't do it.
You know what we can't do? And if the nice people at Fletcher's who are now following us all on Twitter are listening to this again, we would like to say, if you could provide Fletcher's State Fair corny dogs for our Fletcher's State Fair corny dogs hot dog eating contest, corny dog eating contest, we would super appreciate it. It's not a sure thing yet, guys, but what is a sure thing is a great time for you guys at draft night out.
Yeah. If you think we're good here, we got the gentleman from Eat Sleep Fantasy. They're going to be joining us as well. We're all going to meet up in Dallas. We're going to have a hell of an after party with the official draft party. We're going to be giving away all kinds of jerseys. Davante Adams. We got Juju Smith-Schuster's autographed footballs. We got Todd Gurley jerseys. We got a Tony Romo jersey. We have a Troy Aikman, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman.
We got Melvin Gordon.
Jerseys. We got Melvin Gordon. We have the who's who of jerseys that we're just giving away. We don't want them. Just give them away.
Did you say who's who's?
No, I did not say who's who's. But there is a rumor, Jason. There is a rumor.
Okay.
There may be an autographed Pat Fitzpatrick. Pat Fitzmaurice jersey, yes.
There you go. Yeah. Listen, if Moose can pull that off, legend.
Number 66.
Number 66, Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
All right. So, George, did we have any other housekeeping to do before we jump into this draft?
No, I think draft night out, go to draftnightout.com, sign up, get your tickets. There is a limited number of tickets. So once we sell out, we're done. and we fully expect this thing to sell out. We fully expect it to sell out.
Yeah, so get your tickets, guys, before it sells out. Come see us. Listen, I'm signing breasts, mostly men's, and come have a really good time with us, all right?
All right, Jason, why don't we go ahead and get into this draft? I'm going to go ahead and hit start.
And, George, we are underway. We've got a nice mix of sleeper wire guys and some fans. So we've got Ransom. Guys, if I mess up your name, just know that you typed your name really, really strange in this GroupMe chat, so, or in the sleeper app. So Ransom, Brooklyn Dog, Bifty Geo, Robbie Gold, Keto Corey, me, Mark O'Madis, Luli Banks, Justin Martin, Prophet Hoos, Sleeper Wire, and Usobar. I do not know how to pronounce his last name or his name either.
Usobar, that's Rob. He's our producer.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Right, so off the board, and I'm at 1-6. Off the board already, 1-1 with Saquon Barkley, 1-2 Christian McCaffrey, 1-3 Ezekiel Elliott, 1-4 Alvin Kamara, 1-5 David Johnson. And guess who I'm going to pick here, George?
If I'm guessing, you're probably taking DeAndre Hopkins.
I am not. It's a thought, but I'm taking Melvin Gordon. Leaving Melvin Gordon for me at 1-6 is a gift.
Well, I figured with the three wide receivers, you would actually take a wide receiver there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about you, but my number one wide receiver is DeAndre Hopkins.
Absolutely, mine too. But David Johnson being ahead of Melvin Gordon is a surprise to me at this point. It wasn't so long ago in this offseason that he was at the back end of this draft. Now, yeah, we had our first wide receiver go off the board, and it might start a run. We've got Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins going 1-7, 1-8.
Yeah. So for those of you wondering what the setup is for the draft, the teams, it's single quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, a kicker, and a defense. I'm actually kind of shocked that the first wide receiver in a three wide receiver league went at 1-7. I honestly thought as early as 1-5, you would see DeAndre Hopkins go off the board.
Yeah, so for me, it always goes back to, even in a three wide receiver league, there is a lot of value at wide receiver later in the draft, and I feel like I can always plug somebody in. And yes, it's nice to have the studs, don't get me wrong, but I think, especially where I was picking and where you were picking, you know, 1-6 to me is the tier break for running backs. After Melvin Gordon, the next running back is Le'Veon Bell, James Carter, Joe Mixon, and I think, and I said James Carter, but James Conner, and Joe Mixon. And I think Melvin Gordon is where that steep drop off happens. And that's why wide receivers will start going off the board there.
Yeah. And we're on a mega wide receiver run. So it's kind of funny. The first six picks were running backs. The second five picks, starting at 1-7 was Devontae Adams, 1-8 DeAndre Hopkins. Dustin Martin at 1-9 took somebody I'm really high on this year, Julio Jones, followed by Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham, and Juju Smith-Schuster. The first six picks were running backs. The second six picks were all wide receivers. Again, being that we are in a three wide receiver league where you got to start three wide receivers, I'm not surprised to see wide receivers going that early. I mean, you still got great running backs that left on the board. James Conner, Joe Mixon, Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook. But the wide receivers are starting to fly now.
Yeah, but here's the deal. And I'll say it again. You stay lucid here because a lot of people are going to go running back and then know they have to start three wide receivers and panic pick a wide receiver because they've seen now seven straight wide receivers off the board. Now, if that comes back to me this way, that is not happening. If I see that a bunch of wide receivers have been taken, even though they shouldn't have been, I'm going to go running back and potentially follow it up with a running back. There's wide receivers all up and down this draft. I might go zero wide receiver here.
That's bold in three wide receiver league. Real quick, Jason, I do want to give a quick shout out to Lucy Francesca and his fiance's dog. They asked us to give a shout out to his this guy's fiance and his dog. So, Lucy and Francesca, shout out to you. You can hear us talking about you tomorrow, I guess. I don't know.
Bring your dog out to draft night out.
Absolutely. So Adam from Sleeperwire is already saying he doesn't like his team. He's got Odell Beckham and Joe Mixon. I don't think that's a bad start.
That is not a, it's, no, when you're picking 111, that you couldn't have a better start. Yeah, picking 111. Now, Odell Beckham, it's weird to me because in Dynasty, a lot of people have him as close to the number one wide receiver because he's young still. He's with a young quarterback. You know, here in redraft leagues or these mock drafts, I see him going frequently in the second round. He went in the end of the first round here because it is a three wide receiver league. I got to wonder, though, why do you think Odell Beckham Jr. has fallen off from being up with Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and Julio and kind of dropping back down into the Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown area this year?
I'm not really sure. I mean, listen, Odell, he's going 111. You can make a strong case, really, that Devontae Adams should go ahead of him. He does have a new team, new quarterback. You're on the clock, Jason. Thank you. New quarterback, new team, new scheme. A little bit of an injury history with Odell. You got to remember he was injured at the end of last year, didn't finish. He was injured when he first came into the NFL. So there are some legit concerns with Odell. You don't know how he's going to be mentally, if he's going to, you know, be there together and focused on what he needs to do. All reports from camp are, you know, he's focused. He's showing up for voluntary OTAs, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, I'm just thinking you can make a strong case Devontae Adams should be taken ahead of him. You can make the case DeAndre Hopkins should be taken ahead of him. Michael Thomas should be taken ahead of him. The only one that I consider to be kind of questionable is Julio, but I think I would take Julio ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes sense. But in years past, Odell had been up with some of the upper echelon guys. So just seeing him fall to the second round versus being in the first round. If we want to get back to this draft, so the back half or the first half of the second round, Antonio Brown 2-1, Joe Mixon 2-2, Travis Kelce off the board at 2-3, Mike Evans at 2-4, Le'Veon Bell at 2-5, James Conner at 2-6. Any surprises there for you, George?
I think Le'Veon Bell going at 2-5. I think I would take James Conner ahead of him, and I think I'd take Gurley ahead of him.
Yeah, and speaking of Gurley, that's where I've got Gurley at 2-7, T.Y. Hilton went at 2-8, Dalvin Cook at 2-9, Keenan Allen at 2-10, to you, George. Nick Chubb at 2-11.
And don't think I didn't make any googly eyes with little hearts when I took Keenan Allen at 2-10.
Oh, I saw it.
Because I did, because I love Keenan Allen.
So 2-11 is Nick Chubb and 2-12 Adam Thielen. Any surprises to you there, George?
Not really. I mean, Nick Chubb going all the way down at 2-11, a little surprising.
Well, so being a PPR and him not having the hands to catch, I can see why Nick Chubb drops in a PPR, especially in a three wide receiver league where wide receivers are picked more frequently than running backs here than you'd in a normal draft.
Yeah. So, like, I was hoping Mike Evans got back to me at the end of the second. I wasn't sure if he was going to. I figure if he did, that would have pushed either Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen, or AJ Green to me. I actually think I just messed up taking Damian Williams before Stephon Diggs. But that's okay. I can make that up later on. You know, I'm high on Damian Williams this year. I think he will be the number one running back the entire year in Kansas City. And I think he's going to surprise people. I think he's easily a top 10 running back.
All right. So, to round out or to start the beginning of the third round, Amari Cooper goes 3-1, AJ Green goes 3-2, Damian Williams to you at 3-3, Stephon Diggs at 3-4, Robert Woods at 3-5, and Marlon Mack to me at 3-6.
So I love your running backs, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Marlon Mack. I absolutely love that.
I am zero wide receiver in a three wide receiver set, but let's see what I can end up in the back half of the draft. So there's zero running back strategy, right? People go zero running back strategy, and what they tend to do in the back half is find those like James White style running backs who will get a bunch of points catching the ball.
Yep.
Not necessarily the stud running back, but they can go off any given week catching 10, 11, you know, 7, 10 passes, whatever, just on random. So what is a zero wide receiver strategy and a three wide receiver, do you go for PPR upside?
You have to. You have to go for the PPR upside. I would start looking for the wide receiver twos on teams. So coming back to you, like guys who have high upside, a Jarvis Landry, a Mike Williams, a Calvin Ridley, if they're there, those are the type of guys that if I'm you, I start to look for.
Corey, so Chris Godwin is another one that I might be looking at if he actually makes it all the way back to me. I kind of doubt he will, but we'll see. But you know what I can't do here, which is something I might have done given the latest news. Oh, he went. Tyreek.
I was thinking about that as well.
Tyreek Hill just went off the board at 311, and that's something I can't do because I set myself up without a stud wide receiver at the beginning of this draft. So what I couldn't do is take a risk on somebody like Tyreek Hill.
See, I think when you go Melvin Gordon, Gurley, Mack, you have to take that risk.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I need safe wide receivers that are going to play. So, yes, I need an upside guy, but I absolutely can't have a guy who's going to be suspended for 4 weeks. So, yes.
It's only going to get 4 weeks?
Well, you know, they came out today. I don't know if you read. They came out today and said that the break seemed to be similar to a break if a kid braced himself from a fall.
Yep.
So not that Tyreek Hill or his fiance, not that they couldn't have made him fall, not that they weren't responsible. But what they did say is that it wasn't a break where he was grabbed too rough or something along those lines. Everything you've seen, man, is trending more and more towards like he's not going to get charged with anything. And while the NFL can still go after him, especially for the stuff on tape, you know, at this point, can they suspend him a full season? Can they suspend him 8 games when there's really no proof he did anything completely wrong, and the only thing out there is bad audio? So yeah, it's a black eye for football, but he's not going to be charged with a crime is what it looks like.
Well, you got to remember that they did, and there goes your Chris Godwin. You got to remember they did suspend Ezekiel Elliott last year for 4 games, and at no point has he ever been charged with a crime.
Yep, I agree, but that again,
and you got to remember he has a history of this.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he does get more than 4 games. I think he's going to get the 8 games.
So here's where I'm going to say I screwed up, because I have 3 running backs, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, and Marlon Mack. Now, on the board still is Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Kerryon Johnson, all guys I would be super happy with here at 4-7. And I could have given up Marlon Mack and picked up Julian Edelman or Brandon Cooks or Cooper Kupp here, I think my team would have been better. So I think I screwed up this way. But right now I am going to select a wide receiver. It wants me to select Kenny Galladay, but I just can't do it. I'm going to take potentially the number one player on his team for at least 4 weeks and not Tyreek Hill. I'm going to take Sammy Watkins.
I think that's way too early for Sammy Watkins. I mean, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when somebody once told me,
you can't trust Sammy Watkins.
You can't trust Sammy Watkins. So I think that is way too early for Sammy Watkins, especially with the news that's coming out. I don't know how you feel about Mecole Hardman, but they did draft a wide receiver in the first round. Second round. So they spent a lot of draft capital on.
Yeah, but we all know that Mecole Hardman is not the Sammy Watkins replacement. He is the Tyreek Hill replacement. So at best or at worst, he'll be the third wide receiver in the 3 wide receiver sets. But at best, he's the second wide receiver to Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, if Tyreek Hill's out, is the number one.
Oh, I agree.
So looking
as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, and that's – so I completely went against everything I said about needing a sure thing and took Sammy Watkins.
Exactly. So, but it would have been better if Tyreek would have fell to you, because I feel like Tyreek is more of a sure thing than Sammy Watkins.
We both think Tyreek's at least not going to play 4 games for sure. So I don't know. Like I said, so let's recap the 4th round real quick.
Did we recap the 3rd round?
We did.
Okay.
In the 4th round, 4-1 is Tyler Lockett.
That's somebody who's jumped up significantly.
Absolutely. 4-2 is Philip Lindsay. 4-3 is Cooper Kupp. 4-4 is O.J. Howard. 4-5 is Chris Godwin. 4-6, Patrick Mahomes. First quarterback off the board. George, what do you think about the quarterback?
Listen, his average draft position is at the back end of the third round. So I can't say that I hate him going in the middle of the fourth.
Yeah, so I think he's good value there. If he would have fallen to me in the fifth, I would not have passed on him, even though I'm not a quarterback early guy. But 4-6 is a decent value. So 4-7, and Mike Williams, the guy I was hoping would get back to me, just went off the board.
You're welcome.
Let's see. And again, looking at the wide receivers, zero wide receiver was not a good choice.
No, it's starting to get brutal at the wide receiver. So there's so many of them going because people are doing exactly what you said. They're seeing the fact that they have to start three wide receivers, and so they're starting to panic a little bit and are taking wide receivers probably a little earlier than they should be going. Like, there's no way Chris Godwin should be going at 4-5. It just should not happen. Sammy Watkins should not be going at 4-7.
No, they're both fifth-round guys, honestly, but it seems like wide receivers are going one round sooner. Just like I'm going to take this guy who could be a PPR monster with targets, coverage getting faded away to Odell Beckham Jr. I'm going to take a shot at Jarvis Landry here. And again, it's a round too early for Jarvis, but because it's three wide receivers and all these wide receivers are going off the board, I'm willing to take him here.
Yeah. I mean, you have to fill the positions, and the wide receivers are actually flying off the board. So if you look at so far in the fifth round, 5-1 was Aaron Jones, 5-2 DJ Moore, which I do not like that pick, by the way. I'm just not a fan of any wide receiver on the Panthers because Cam Newton does not use them. He doesn't target one specific wide receiver. I'm not a big DJ Moore guy. I'm throwing that out there. I think he's going to disappoint a lot of people. At 5-3, I took Mike Williams. 5-4 was Tyler Boyd. 5-5, David Montgomery. 5-6, Jarvis Landry. 5-7, Derrick Henry. That I hope in my regular drafts, Derrick Henry goes in the fifth round. Well, I'd be happy to scoop him in the fourth.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the thing. I think running backs are about a round later than normal, and
wide receivers are going around
early. Yeah, it's just having to start three wide receivers and only having to start two running backs is causing a shift in what people normally do.
Yeah.
So,
and it's smart. So looking at the teams right now, is there anybody's team right now through, you know, almost done with the fifth round here that stands out that you like?
So I actually like your team. I like Ezekiel Elliott, Keelan Allen, Damian Williams, Calvin Ridley, and Mike Williams. And I like Corey's team with David Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, Robert Woods, Josh Jacobs, and David Montgomery. Although for him, I would have taken Melvin Gordon ahead of David Johnson.
So I would have took Melvin Gordon ahead of David Johnson. I think looking at this, I think I would have took Derrick Henry over David Montgomery.
So the thing is, Derrick Henry has the potential to be great if they actually use him properly. David Montgomery has a ton of opportunity in Chicago. So I understand why you go David Montgomery.
There's still what's his name in Chicago? The scat back, the third down back, Cohen. Tariq Cohen is there. Mike Davis is there as well. They signed Mike Davis in the offseason. Now, I'm not saying Mike Davis is better than David Montgomery, but I'm saying we've seen Mike Davis play, and we've seen him play very well in Seattle. And I would not be surprised if David Montgomery is not handed that job to start.
So I see him starting almost right away. I think that Mike Davis is probably just the veteran guy there, and that's the reason he's there. I really do think Montgomery's going to have a big year. Now, the one reason why I wouldn't have taken David Montgomery there is because he already has a rookie in Josh Jacobs. So I guess you'd like to temper your rookie love. If like you have two rookies and they're both bad, you're kind of stuck. So, you know, taking two rookies early in the fourth and fifth round when they're not sure things, I guess that could be seen as an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sold on David Montgomery. I'm just not. I think there's going to be three running backs used in that offense, just the way you see it in New England, just the way last year we seen it in Detroit. And I'm not sure that that offense can support three running backs.
So let me ask you, is there a team here, and I'm looking at one for sure, is there a team here you're not sure you're happy with?
I would say Escobar.
Rob. That's exactly the team I was looking at.
And here's why. Yes, it's a three wide receivers and a flex. So his starting lineup is Juju, Antonio Brown, George Kittle at tight end, Tyler Lockett, and he's going to flex between Robbie Anderson and Christian Kirk. The problem is he's not taking a first running back potentially until 7-12. At that point, I'm not sure what running backs are going to be left.
So currently, at this moment, the running backs that are left are Sony Michel, Chris Carson, Darius Geis, Daryl Henderson, Miles Sanders, Tevin Coleman, Lamar Miller, Kareem Hunt, and then it gets bad from there. Rashad Penny, Latavius Murray, Ronald Jones, Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon.
So I think the big fall off is after Rashad Penny. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable with Rashad Penny as my RB1, but I wouldn't be, you know, upset if he was my RB2 or RB3.
So for me, there are three guys here that I would be happy as an RB2. Sony Michel, Chris Carson, Darius Geis.
Okay, so I'm gonna go. There's three for me as well, and I'll give you mine real quick. Sony Michel, Darius Geis, and I think Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders is better than David Montgomery. You're on the clock, Jason. I think I would be okay with Sony Michel as my RB2, although I'm concerned about the knee. I'm a little concerned about Darius Geis again with the knee. They've already said Tevin Coleman is looking great in camp at San Francisco, but he's the only running back there right now. Burita is still recovering from an injury, and so is Jerick McKinnon. So they don't even have a full healthy backfield. So, of course, they're going to say he looks great and he's getting all the touches. He's the only one healthy.
All right, so I'm going to read off the fifth round because I don't think we've done that yet.
Nope, go ahead and read off the fifth round.
In the fifth round, we've got Aaron Jones, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd, David Montgomery, Jarvis Landry. And then 5-7 is Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, Alshon Jeffrey, James White, Mark Ingram, and Robbie Anderson. I really like Robbie Anderson this year. And again, in most regular mock drafts, Robbie Anderson's a late sixth, early seventh. So we are getting to the point where wide receivers are getting taken much, much earlier than their normal ADP. Because after that, you've got Christian Kirk, N'Keal Harry, Tariq Cohen, Andrew Luck, Evan Ingram, Will Fuller, Chris Carson, Aaron Rodgers, Sony Michel, and then George, you're on the clock at 6:10.
And you probably knew who I was taking.
Absolutely. I know you like Darius Geis. I'm a little worried about his injuries. It's weird because Gruden is talking up Samaje Perine. Like, that's a name you hadn't heard in two seasons.
Who?
Right. We're also seeing quarterbacks go off the board. And normally, again, I don't take quarterbacks early, but at 6-7, Aaron Rodgers is staring you in the face. And I almost took him. Keto Corey took him at 6-8.
Yeah, he went one pick later. And I'll be honest, I almost took a quarterback at 6-10. You and I typically will preach, don't take quarterback early. Wait. But I almost took, and I'm not going to take him here, so I'll tell you who it was. I strongly considered Deshaun Watson at 6-10. I really did.
Well, you might get him at 7-3.
No, I'm not going to take him at 7-3. There's somebody else I'm looking at. I considered him there. So here's my thinking. Damian Williams, I'm very confident with him. Barring an injury, I think he'll be the starter all season in Kansas City. But for some reason, he comes out and he struggles the first few games, and they do put Hyde in. I wanted to cuff myself. I just got sniped. That's who I was taking at 7-3, was Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah. I'm taking the guys that I like. Regardless of ADP, I was seriously considering Hunter Henry there. I don't think he's going to get back to me. So I'm going to go ahead and take Eric Ebron here. I'm considering Eric Ebron. But I figure with Geis, he's going to start slow, and he'll come on as the year progresses. That's what I think they're going to do with him. So I figured, why not take a chance on a guy that at the end of the year I can get this late and it could absolutely be a league winner.
Yep, makes sense. Absolutely makes sense.
So I've got to draft, and I'm going to take DK Metcalf from Seattle.
Yeah, I like the DK. Oh, and Deshaun Watson would have been my pick here. He goes off the board right before me. I got sniped.
I think Robbie Gould, because he hasn't re-signed with San Francisco yet. So I think he's out here drafting with us.
Let's see.
He's listening to us right now, knowing you and I were talking about Deshaun Watson a few seconds ago.
So I'm in a tough spot here because I definitely need a wide receiver, and top wide receivers are on the board are Mecole Hardman, who I will not take, Golden Tate, who is interesting to me, but then you have Corey Davis and Larry Fitzgerald. I am going to take... Don't do what?
Don't do Corey Davis.
No, I'm absolutely not taking Corey Davis. No.
I think you're finally starting to come around to what I've been telling you about him.
I'm going to take Golden Tate here because, again, I need PPR help. And the one thing Golden Tate does is catch a lot of passes.
Not only does he catch a lot of passes, but his quarterback is now Eli Manning, who is not throwing the ball down the field. He's going to be looking for them short underneath routes, and that is exactly what you're going to get with Golden Tate.
Now, here's where I'm disappointed, because I had my eye on Marvin Jones, and in most drafts, he would have fallen a lot farther.
Yep.
He did not fall two spots here. He should have been way further down. So that's real disappointing.
Well,
now,
if you look at it real quick, Lully Blanks, his third wide receiver was Marvin Jones. So he was filling a need because now that Marvin Jones is his third starting wide receiver.
And yeah, him and I are in very similar position.
I love the fact that when I created this, I did it as a three wide receiver league because it adds a little bit something to it. Like, typically, like you said earlier, we'll ignore the wide receiver position. We'll grab our stud, and then later on in the draft, the wide receiver position is so deep that you can just go out and grab something, and you should be good. But it's a little bit different in a three wide receiver league because so many wide receivers are being taken because you have to fill out that starting roster.
It may end up paying off for Rob here because there are a couple, like Daryl Henderson I wouldn't take, but Tevin Coleman – as his running back one, considering where we're going to be drafting, is not a bad spot.
No, it's really not. I'm not sure if Tevin Coleman's going to
make it.
Yeah. So let me ask. I have to pause this real quick. Who do you want? We'll give who's the second to respond here. If he doesn't, then I'll just go ahead based off of ADP select for him. While we're waiting on who's to respond, I don't think we went through and recapped round six yet.
Okay, so I got it.
I got it. 6-1 was Christian Kirk, then N'Keal Harry, Tariq Cohen, Andrew Luck, Evan Ingram, Will Fuller. Jason, you took Chris Carson, followed by Aaron Rodgers. We talked a little bit about that. Sony Michel, followed by Darius Geis, Allen Robinson, and Dante Pettis, who I believe Dante Pettis, that's about the area he should be going.
Any surprises for you here?
Not really. I want to say the quarterbacks, just because we should not be drafting quarterbacks this early.
Yeah, but we talked about it. There's definite value.
So they're definite value picks.
Aaron Rodgers in the third round last year, not good. Aaron Rodgers in the sixth round, okay, I understand it. Now, there's still guys on the board. You know, I'm looking at Corey's team, and he's only got three wide receivers. Like, so do I think maybe taking Allen Robinson, Dante Pettis, Geronimo Allison, DK Metcalf?
I think Geronimo Allison is going a little early. I'm not sure I would take Geronimo Allison in the seventh round. I think.
Well, again, it's, you know, you're talking about regular drafts. We're at the point now where the next best wide receiver going into the eighth round, the next wide receiver on the board is Mecole Hardman and Corey Davis. Now, I guess you could make an argument for Corey Davis over Geronimo Allison, but I think that's about the right area for him.
I think I would rather have Corey Davis based on upside over Geronimo Allison.
Right. But it's close. And Corey Davis is on a bad offense with a rookie who, by all accounts, is a stud.
Yeah, a rookie who is, I think, is better than him.
Exactly. It's not like they didn't add somebody. They did add Adam Humphries, and he's going to catch some passes. They didn't pay him all the money to not catch passes. So my issue with Corey Davis is bad quarterback, bad offense, more targets for that quarterback on a team that wants to run first. So that's why maybe you put Geronimo Allison there. He was hurt last year, but before he was hurt, he played really well, and he's with a good quarterback on an offense that should be unleashed this year. So I can see Geronimo Allison over Corey Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Definitely has the upgrade in quarterback. You can't compare the two. One is Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer. One is Marcus Mariota, who probably will be a backup somewhere next year, if we're being honest. If he doesn't have a significant year this year, he'll probably be a backup next year.
The only reason he'll be a starter is because somebody's going to take him, and potentially a guy like Jameis Winston, who has flashed, going to take those guys and say, listen, the teams they drafted were bad and they couldn't get the most out of them. So there's going to be a team out there that says, we can get more out of these guys. Let's try him out for the starting role. But yeah, you're right. Like,
I think Winston is a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota. You know, let's call that a hot take. I have no faith in Mariota. He's just not a good quarterback. He hasn't shown to be a good quarterback. He's been injured every single season, just about. I can see him going to be a backup someplace where if some, or I can see him, you know, signing someplace where there's an elder veteran and they want him as a backup and they can coach him up a little bit. And then if the team struggles, okay, let's see what we really have with Mariota. I don't think he's going to be a starter anywhere next year. I really, really don't.
So Eric Ebron goes off the board at 8-6 right before me.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he made it back to me. I thought about taking him earlier.
Well, to make you feel better, he wasn't making it past me.
Okay.
So we're at the spot here where I have to decide. Running backs, well, they're all about the same level. The guys left are Daryl Henderson, Kareem Hunt, Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon, Royce Freeman, LeSean McCoy. Wide receivers are Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, Cortland Sutton, James Washington, Emmanuel Sanders. And then there's the quarterbacks, and I'm running out of time. Quarterbacks left are Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. I am going to select. What are the odds that I take the guy we just talked down? I am taking Corey Davis in the eighth round.
So, and it's, we talked him down, but we talked him down at the beginning of the seventh round. You're talking literally a full almost 20 picks later.
Yep.
So that doesn't surprise me. Let's go ahead, Jason, because I am going to be on the clock here in a second. Why don't you go ahead and recap round number seven?
Okay, so with round 7, 7-1, Geronimo Allison, 7-2, Hunter Henry, 7-3, DK Metcalf, 7-4, Deshaun Johnson, 7-5, Sterling Shepard, 7-6, Golden Tate, 7-7, Larry Fitzgerald, 7-8, Marvin Jones, 7-9, Lamar Miller, 7-10, Baker Mayfield, 7-11, Jared Cook, and 7-12, Rashad Penny. So of those that stand out to me, the one that I really like there, again, and it's earlier than I expected, but I kind of was hoping he'd come back to me in the eighth round, is Marvin Jones, kind of the forgotten guy in Detroit. But I think he has potential to beat out Galladay as the number one there. The guy still has talent, and if he can stay healthy, I think he'll be the number one in Detroit.
So I'm on the clock right now, and I'm staring at somebody who's screaming, take me, take me, take me. I have three running backs, and I'm looking at possibly adding a fourth. out of Daryl Henderson, Kareem Hunt, Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon, Royce Freeman, LeSean McCoy, because I'm not going any further south than that. Who do you think I was looking at, Jason?
I think you're looking at Jerick McKinnon.
I am not. I am looking at Daryl Henderson here. And so I am not the Todd Gurley owner. But I'm thinking if I was drafting and I am the Todd Gurley owner, I think I'm taking Daryl Henderson before the eighth round.
Well, so here's the thing, and I am the Todd Gurley owner in this. I'm not that big a fan of Daryl Henderson, and the reason why is I think Daryl Henderson is going to split time with Gurley. So he's going to be the third down guy. He's going to be the guy that splits time with Todd Gurley as a committee. So you're never going to play them both together. But I think the backup there is actually Malcolm Brown. So if Todd Gurley's out and hurt, I think Malcolm Brown, and they signed him, they kept him from the Lions. They signed him back. So I think if Todd Gurley misses any significant time with his knee, it's going to be Malcolm Brown that gets the Todd Gurley shares, and Daryl Henderson's just going to get his own carries. So I think it's going to be more of a committee with Daryl Henderson taking some of the carries. But again, I think if Todd Gurley missed, personally, just from the way they signed in the offseason, they didn't sign Malcolm Brown not to play him.
No, this is true, but I think at the time, they didn't think they would be able to get Daryl Henderson. I believe they traded up to get him.
Oh, they did.
So it's not like he just fell into their lap. They actually went out to get him. They invested a third-round pick in him, and they traded up in the third to get him. So,
like I said, it'll be interesting. We'll see how it goes.
I'm just saying, if I'm the Gurley owner, and I honestly forgot that you took Gurley, so it wasn't a swipe at you, but in general, if I am the Todd Gurley owner, there's no way that I am waiting until the eighth round to take Daryl Henderson, especially the back of the eighth. I'm targeting him in the seventh. I might even reach at the back end of the sixth just to make sure I can shore up my early pick.
But again, I'm reminding you that we are talking about a three wide receiver league, which is why he actually made it to the eighth.
This is true.
All right. So I am going to recap the eighth round. 8-1 Miles Sanders, 8-2 Kyler Murray, 8-3 Latavius Murray, 8-4 Tevin Coleman, 8-5 Ronald Jones, 8-6 Eric Ebron, 8-7 Corey Davis, 8-8 David Njoku, 8-9 Vance McDonald, 8-10 Daryl Henderson, 8-11 Jordan Howard, 8-12 Matt Ryan.
So in that round, there's one person who sticks out to me like a sore thumb that I think he went way too early.
Well, I am on the clock, so I'm going to let you tell the people who it is.
It is Ronald Jones. I was not a Ronald Jones fan last year. I was not a Ronald Jones fan this year. I will not be a Ronald Jones fan next year. From week 10 on, he had -1 yard for the whole year, from week 10 on, the last seven weeks of the year. He had -1 total yard. I'm sorry, I don't need that in my life. Ronald Jones is not good at football. Peyton Barber will once again be the starter in Tampa unless they can somehow trade for Duke Johnson, which I think Tampa would be absolutely brilliant to do that.
So they can't get Duke Johnson because the Browns wouldn't have a backup until week 9. So they're not trading Duke Johnson. I will say this about Ronald Jones. He did not look good last year. He did not run with any kind of authority last year. He didn't run with any confidence last year. What he also didn't do is get past the line of scrimmage without getting hit. I don't have the stat in front of me, but guys, go look it up. Ronald Jones, almost never in the few carries he got, I think only one time got a carry where he didn't get hit in the backfield before.
But Peyton Barber didn't have that problem. Now, Peyton Barber wasn't great by any stretch. He was not great. But Peyton Barber vastly outperformed Ronald Jones.
Well, when you have opportunity, you absolutely do. But the only way you get
opportunity is by earning it. He did not earn opportunity. And we're not saying Peyton Barber is lighting the world on fire. Peyton Barber is a subpar running back who vastly outplayed Ronald Jones in training camp. He outplayed him in the preseason. He outplayed him in practice, and he outplayed him in the games.
So if you get 20 carries over 16 games, you're in the coach's doghouse, and you don't have the ability.
Why are you in the coach's doghouse? Because you're not very good.
We don't know why he was in that coach's doghouse, but guess who's not there anymore? Now, Arians is talking them both up.
Of course he is. He's not going to come out and say, this guy sucks. I don't expect any coach to come out and say, hey, I really think this guy sucks.
You know what else they didn't do, George?
They didn't draft a running back?
They did not invest in any running backs in the offseason except for an undrafted player who they picked up after the draft.
And that's absolutely fine, because I honestly believe, why would they draft a running back this year or sign a running back, a good running back that was on the free agent market, when they know next year's running back draft class is absolutely loaded? And they can just grab a running back next year and pay him a rookie contract. That's exactly why they didn't invest in that position.
That's all well and good. And look, what you do in that situation is you take a running back that helps you this year, and you take a running back next year.
So but you waste a draft pick this year?
Ask New England. They took a running back this year with Harris.
Yes, they did.
And used a first round last year in Michelle.
Okay, now what is wrong with Sonny Michelle? What's been his problem? Injured. He's injury. He's an injury risk. He was injured a lot in college. He's been injured in the pros. So it makes sense for New England to spend a draft pick on a running back to shore up their running back position. And let me ask you this about New England.
Yeah.
Where do they draft? In the back end of the draft. So their capital that they're spending is not nearly the same on what a bad team like Tampa would be spending. New England doesn't have as many holes and as many positional needs
as Tampa does. If you were worried about Ronald Jones, you'd take a flyer on a guy in the fourth and the fifth, and they ignored it. That's all I'm saying.
That's because they believe in Peyton Barber. And I don't blame them.
They don't believe in Peyton Barber.
Obviously they do.
Wow. All right, That's
enough Bucks talk for us. I'll go ahead and recap the ninth round. At 9-1, Ransom took Cortland Sutton. Brooklyn Dog took Royce Freeman. I went ahead and took the tight end Austin Hooper from Atlanta. I absolutely love Austin Hooper. I believe he was top 5 in receptions in tight end last year. He was also a top 10 tight end for the year. Robbie Gould took Jerick McKinnon. Corey took Curtis Samuel, who he proclaimed to be the wide receiver 1 in Carolina. Excuse me. Again, I don't care. I don't want a wide receiver in Carolina. Russell Wilson was taken by Jason at 9-6. That is a great pick. Hopefully they allow him to throw the ball this year. They signed him to a mega contract in the offseason.
And got him some weapons.
They got him a couple of weapons in the draft. One of the ones I took a flyer on, DK Metcalf. He actually reminds me a lot of Dez Bryant. Not nearly as athletic. Dez Bryant wasn't nearly as athletic as Metcalf, but I think he reminds me a lot of a younger Dez Bryant. I think that's going to be a great pick for them for a long time. Mecole Hardman was taken at 9-7. Dede Westbrook, the first of the Jaguars receivers to go, was 9-8. Ito Smith, 9-9. Drew Brees, Kareem Hunt at 9-11 by Slipper Wire. I actually like that pick that late. I'm not sure I will draft him at all in a redraft league this year. Listen, I'm not letting him sit on my bench for 9 weeks. That's just not happening.
I will not draft him. Yep, I will not draft him.
9-12 was Jalen Samuels. That was a very smart draft pick. There's a little bit of uncertainty on what's going on in that backfield. A lot of people say it's Connor. Some people think that Jalen Samuels is the better running back. Personally, I think it's Connor, and it's not even close. I think Connor is a vastly superior running back than Jalen Samuels. But there are people out there who see it different. That's fine. They could be wrong.
We're at the point now where those are the running backs. I would not have taken Kareem Hunt. I know people are. If he comes back and helps you with your championship, that's great. But he's sitting on your bench for 9 weeks. There's no real point to it to me. The one I do like, Curtis Samuel. I think somebody every once in a while in Carolina is going to be valuable. You're talking about the ninth round. Curtis Samuel in a three wide receiver draft is a good fourth wide receiver. So I like the Curtis Samuel pick. I'm on his train this year. I'm looking it over. Again, with Mecole Hardman, if Tyreek Hill's back, his value drops, but that's why he's 9-7 here. Ito Smith is a flyer at this point.
I think Ito Smith is going to get some run. I think he'll play the quote-unquote Tevin Coleman role. I think he will get a lot of run, actually. I think he will – listen, Freeman gets injured every year. He really does. He gets injured every single year. There's going to be games where Coleman starts. One thing Atlanta did do in the offseason is they addressed their offensive line. They spent a first round and a third round pick on offensive linemen. I think that was smart. I think that's going to help Matt Ryan. I think it will help Freeman. I think it will help Ito Smith. I know he didn't look phenomenal last year. You got to remember he was a rookie. He was also running behind a very banged up offensive line. And because the defense in Atlanta was so banged up and they lost so many people that I think they just fell behind and had to throw the ball. And I'm on the clock. So Jason, you got this.
All right. So we're going to talk about the 10th round. So Carson Wentz, 10-1, James Washington, 10-2, Chicago. Now Prophet Hoos has been auto drafting, unfortunately. So he drafted Chicago 10-3, LeSean McCoy, 10-4, Jared Goff, 10-5, Austin Eckler, 10-6, Kiki QT to me at 10-7, Devin Singletary, 10-8, Anthony Miller, 10-9, Carlos Hyde, you shored up your Damian Williams, 10-10, Cam Newton, 10-11, Adrian Peterson, 10-12.
Yeah, I wanted to shore up that Kansas City background after giving you a hard time about not taking Daryl Henderson. And again, at the time, I honestly forgot you had drafted Gurley. I wanted to get Carlos Hyde just in case I'm wrong about Damian Williams. I wanted to shore up that backfield. I'm pretty much locked up the Kansas City backfield with Williams and Hyde, and I feel great about that. I absolutely feel great about that. It's one of those things where it doesn't matter. I've got Zeke anchoring my running backs, and I've locked up the Kansas City backfield. I feel absolutely great about that. If I'm wrong on Williams and I do go with Hyde, I think Hyde will be phenomenal in that role because every running back we've ever seen in the Andy Reid offense has played phenomenal.
So we are at the point now, and I'm on the clock, where now you're just taking your guy. So I have five spots left. I need a defense and a kicker at the end. So I've basically got three slots left and I'm just taking shots, right? So here there's a lot of different ways I could go. I really like Paris Campbell because as a rookie and a three wide receiver. So I am taking Paris Campbell in 11-6 just because I like the offense he's in. I like the opportunity he has, and hopefully he pays off.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, it's a three wide receiver league. Your wide receivers, while they're not great, they're pretty good. Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate, Corey Davis. Love Kiki Kuti there at 10-7. And then you just added Paris Campbell. High scoring offenses is one thing you want to look for in your wide receivers. And being this is a PPR, you win a couple PPR receivers in Landry and Golden Tate. And then high scoring, you know, Sammy Watkins, Kiki Kuti in Houston and Paris Campbell in Indianapolis. You can't ask for better than that. So I love the Paris Campbell pick there. I was looking at him, hoping he came back to me.
So now here's where I'm at. Here's the deficit I'm in. I think I am the only team aside from 1-1 that does not have a tight end. So I can come back and pick a tight end. I don't think anybody else is going to get one. So tight end still available, George. TJ Hockenson.
I'm not touching him.
Delanie Walker.
I actually don't hate Delanie Walker. I really don't.
So you've also got Greg Olson.
Well, yeah, you could say old man Delanie Walker, but no, I won't take Greg Olson. I won't touch Kyle Rudolph. I like Chris Herndon. I like Jordan Reed. These are guys that are still left that I like.
So the fact of the matter is, aside from kicker and defense, tight end's going to end up being my last pick, because again, it's trash heap. So I'm going to take one of these guys last, and then if this was an actual league we were going to play in, I'd end up streaming from the junk pile that's left.
Well, so I wouldn't go about it thinking that one of those guys will fall to you, but we're still kind of in rookie season, so, and people are doing their dynasty drafts, and I think people are going to start looking at TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, thinking, okay, let me go ahead and grab one of those rookie tight ends. I won't touch a rookie tight end in redraft league this year. I'm only playing in a very small handful of them. Most of my leagues have been converted to either keeper leagues, or they've been converted to dynasty. So I won't really touch the rookies. But as we're talking about it, two tight ends just went off the board: Dallas Goedert and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, and neither one I'd really be interested in taking. But like I said, the guy I'm looking at is pretty far down the board. He was a lot higher last year. I'm not going to take him with this round, so I don't want to talk him up because you might take him from me. But let's do the 11th round. So in the 11th round, we had DeSean Jackson, DeShon Hamilton, Justice Hill, DeWonta Foreman, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Paris Campbell, Deion Lewis, Peyton Barber, Tyrell Williams, Devin Funchess.
I think who's picked him?
And Zay Jones.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of the Zay Jones pick. Listen, you're talking 11-12 in a three-wide receiver league. So I can't hate it, but Zay Jones is somebody I have no faith in. Same thing with Emmanuel Sanders coming off the Achilles injury at the end of the last year. I'm not big on either one of those guys. Those are two guys that they will not be on my team unless it's a very, very deep league.
So here is the point where I'm at. I need one more pick, then I have to take a tight end and then a defense and a kicker, right? And we talked about this earlier. It's probably very early for this guy. I want him on my team because I'm the Todd Gurley owner and I'm taking Malcolm Brown here.
Smart. Listen, getting a part of that Rams offense is not a bad idea.
And now I have two parts.
Yep. And I've got one.
So, again, in these drafts, like you can set it like clockwork. Defense and kicker are going to be my last two picks.
Yep.
So because I waited so long on tight end, he's going to be my third to last tight end here. If I had gone early on a guy like O.J. Howard because he fell to me in the spot I wanted him, you know, it's not bad. But after O.J. Howard and to me maybe Evan Engram, there's a decent drop-off even with Hunter Henry, and I know that'll make who sad. But I just don't take tight end. If I don't take him early, I take him super late.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's one tight end I'm really looking at here. He's going to be my next pick if he makes it back to me.
Tell me who it is, because I took my second tight end, and I'm not drafting another one.
Okay, so the guy I'm looking at, and in the 13th round, I'm looking at Trey Burton.
I thought that might be who you're looking at. I don't know.
It's a second year in the system, right?
Yep.
The offense showed flashes. The coach is an offensive coach. Last year he was being way overhyped and he was being taken way early. And when you didn't get good numbers from him, you were upset. This year, if I can take him in the 13th round after TJ Hockenson and Chris Herndon have gone off the board, I'm going to take him every time.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's one of those things where I'm just not a big, huge believer in Mitch Trubisky. I think there's too many mouths to feed there. Allen Robinson. There you go. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm just not – it's not that. It's just there's too many mouths to feed. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, you got the running backs. And then you're telling me Trey Burton is going to get some run as well. The offense is not that good. It's just not.
But I played with fire and he went 12-12. I should have taken him instead of Malcolm Brown. But listen, I thought he's way down there on the list. I thought, well, maybe I'd have a shot with him.
Well, and so, if it makes you feel better, you did say earlier that there was only two players left who needed a tight end.
Yeah.
And it was the other guy who needed a tight end that didn't have one yet. That took them. So now I'm on the clock. It's the 13-3. I still don't have a quarterback. And I am looking at who is still there for quarterbacks. And I'm thinking, why am I wasting time picking a quarterback here? To be honest, I got Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Brady, Jimmy G, Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott. I mean, the quarterback is so deep. Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr. I don't know why I would take a quarterback here, Jason. So I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'm going to go for a defense. Okay. I don't know which defense I want, though. That's part of the problem.
Well, you only got 13 seconds, but
I know. I'm going to take the Rams. They beefed up their defense a little bit more this offseason. Yeah, they lost Ndamukong Suh, but they drafted a couple of young defensive guys. I think that the guys that they drafted last year will take a step up. I've got Aaron Donald. I have no idea. I mean, I'll just take the Rams. They're going to be a good defense.
So now that the tight ends are completely off the board, I may not draft a tight end here.
So let me ask you this.
Is that cheating?
No, it's not. But right. I don't know. So it says we start one. I don't know if Super App will allow you to not draft a tight end. But with that said, do you take a shot on Gronk here?
No. So if
if you're streaming a tight end and you're taking one off the pile that's left, on Gronk, and if he doesn't play, or if he doesn't sign, or he doesn't come out of retirement, you just drop him.
No, so if I were to take a tight end here, and I guess I'm probably going to, just in case I have to, I am going to take Jordan Reed,
yeah.
who per game is one of the best tight ends in the league when healthy.
Yeah, I believe he was pretty healthy last year, wasn't he? Didn't he play? I think he played 14 games.
He did. He played hurt through some of them. And listen, it's desperate time at tight end. A guy I was looking at there, if I didn't take tight end and now I have to take a defense and a kicker, a guy I was looking at there was Alexander Mattson. And listen, I'm not the Dalvin Cook owner. I don't even know who he is in this league. But you can set your clock by something. Dalvin Cook is injury prone.
Just for the record, Jordan Reed has been in the league since 2013, and I know we're backtracking a little bit. He has never once played 16 games. Not once. He played 13 games last year.
Listen, I take my first tight end in the 13th round.
No, listen, I like Jordan Reed. And listen, in the 13th round, I don't mind Jordan Reed just because I think the quarterback that they drafted is significantly better than what they had last year.
So – with that said, I was looking at Mattson there only because I can safely assume Dalvin Cook's going to miss some time this season. You know, maybe I'm wrong and I waste a pick, but they drafted him as a backup because they need one. Now,
you could probably get Mattson in the 14th.
I could. I still need a defense and a kicker, though.
Oh, okay.
Because you made us select him. So the other guys I'd look at here, and you can tell me whether I'm crazy or not, but Kalen Ballage at the end of these drafts.
Thought about it.
You know, he has the ability to be a starter if they don't like Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake's a superior talent in this league, but his coaches haven't. So, obviously.
Think he's a superior talent in the league, or he's a superior talent to Kalen Ballage? I need you to clarify that for me.
He's a superior talent in the league if you look at his stats when he actually gets touches. So he has talent, and if in the right situation, if he switched teams, for example, he'd be a really good player on another team. He is a superior talent in the league, but he's never been given the opportunity. For whatever reason, he might have slept with Gase's wife because he never saw the field, and it's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I just, being a Dolphins fan, I've seen him get full workloads, and he's one of those players that the fewer touches he gets, the better he actually plays. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna change that player. Hold on.
No, give him Doug Baldwin.
No, I'll go to the next wide receiver. He's not getting Doug Baldwin.
So another pick I like here in the 13th round, Raquel Armstead. Now, he is not the Leonard Fournette owner, but I don't think that matters. We all know that Fournette isn't going to play a full season. He hasn't played a full season yet. His ankles are made of glass. Armstead is the only guy there now, I think. I know they have one other guy, but I can't think of his name, and he might not be worth it. But I do like Raquel Armstead there. They did let TJ Yeldon walk to Buffalo, so that's not a bad pick. Yeah. So I'm gonna talk about the 13th round. We've got John Brown, Robert Foster, the Los Angeles Rams, Rex Burkhead, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Reed, Duke Johnson, Cleveland Browns, Raquel Armstead, AJ Brown, Steven Gutkowski, and Gus Edwards.
So at this late, I think you're just taking dart throws. I like Raquel Armstead. Like you said, you know, Fournette always injured, always gets a soft tissue issue with him. I like that. Not sure I understand the Rex Burkhead. There's a good possibility he's not even on that come week one. Duke Johnson is a good pick at this late in the 13th round. What you're hoping with is he gets traded.
I don't think he gets traded. He's going to be the third down back there because Chubb is allergic to catching the ball. So, you know, one pick that you forced because Hoos isn't around is AJ Brown.
Yep.
Honestly, looking back at my picks, and again, I did draft Corey Davis 8-7. I kind of wish I'd have gone somewhere else, maybe David Njoku, but, you know, potentially anywhere else, even Curtis Samuel, and then taking an A.J. Brown in the 13th round, because basically they're the same wide receiver with the same bad quarterback on the same back offense. And, yeah, people do want the wide receiver that's been in the league a couple years, but, you know, is A.J. Brown going to be marketably worse than Corey Davis? I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it as well, to be honest. I want to go back a little bit to a comment you made about Nick Chubb, how you said he's allergic to catching. I honestly don't believe that. He caught 20 balls last year. Why that number does not blow you away, you got to remember he didn't even start last year. He didn't take over till like week 4 or 5. He didn't get targeted a lot by Baker Mayfield, but he was targeted 29 times. He caught 20 of the 29 pass attempts to him. I can see him taking a step forward this year. It wouldn't surprise me if he got to 30, possibly 35 catches.
And that's potentially right. But still, 30 to 35. The reason I say Duke Johnson is because he's their third round, and that's kind of the
– What I can see them doing is putting both Chubb and Johnson in the backfield – and then having Duke Johnson slide out into the slot or something, you know, flare out the backfield for catching. I can absolutely see both of those guys in there at the same time just to give the defense more things to be concerned about. But I just can't get away from the comment of somebody saying that the dude's allergic to catching. He's not allergic to catching. You know who he's not? He's not Carlos Hyde.
Well, no, because he's a good running back.
No. Well, there's that too. So I'm up on the clock in the 14th round, and I still don't have a quarterback. And everybody I mentioned earlier is still on the board. Like when I took the Rams defense in the 13th round, no quarterbacks have gone since. So I'm gonna push it one more round. I'm going to take a kicker. And then I will come back and pick up my my quarterback in the very last round. Couple guys I'm looking at here. So when I look for kickers, the first thing I gravitate to is high scoring offenses. The second thing I'm going to gravitate to is teams in a dome. And one guy who stands out to me here is Giorgio Takavicio.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, Giorgio Takavicio. I think that's how it's pronounced. From the Falcons. I don't think the Falcons leave a dome. I think it's until like week 10 or 11 this year.
And they only have, I think, two or three games
outside of a dome the entire year. I want some of that.
Yeah, so when I took a kicker in the 14th round as well.
Yep.
And again, it's high scoring offenses.
Yep.
So I took Kansas City and Harrison Butker, because not only are they a high scoring offense, but he's a damn fine kicker.
Yep. Now, the other one I was looking at was Will Lutz, but I mean, they're in a dome. It's New Orleans, but are they really a high powered offense?
They can be.
So Drew Brees' passing attempts have gone down each of the last 3 years.
Well, yeah, that's because their running backs are so good.
Yep, they're running the ball a lot more, which is great. I mean, that's great for the running backs. It saves Drew Brees' arm. But if they're not passing as much, they're not moving the ball up and down the field as much, that just means that the kicker's not getting the opportunity to kick as many field goals. So that's the only reason. That, and like I said, the kicker for the Falcons gets a dome pretty much the whole damn year. So now I've got to take a quarterback. There's so many good choices on here. I've narrowed it down to either Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers, or Kirk Cousins, or Dak Prescott. Of those four, Jason, who do you like?
So I think Winston's going to score a ton of points this year, and that's not the Bucks homer in me, because you know I'm not a homer when I play this game. I don't have one Bucks player on my team. I think Winston is probably the best quarterback left available.
So I'm torn right now, honestly, between Winston and Cousins. I look at Cousins. He's got Dalvin Cook coming out the backfield. He's got Thielen and Diggs. I think I'm going to go with Cousins.
Yeah, so Cousins, the only issue I have with Cousins is the fact that they want to be a run-first team, and Tampa can't run. So that's, again, that's another reason why I don't see the attempts for Tampa quarterbacks going down.
Yeah. Now, I think Cousins is going to bounce back. I think second year in this offense, he's got two really good wide receivers, two arguably top 10 wide receivers. Got the tight end. Hopefully he gets either Irv Smith or Rudolph a little bit more involved. Like I said, Dalvin Cook coming out the backfield, he can catch the ball as well. I'm happy with Cousins. If I told you you're getting a top 10 quarterback in the 15th round, you know, are you really that upset? I don't think you are.
Well, see, and I think that this goes back to show you a little bit. And I did take Russell Wilson in the 9th round, but there are top 12 quarterbacks left, and we're in the 15th round of this thing.
Every year, there are quarterbacks taken super, super late that finish within the top three. Where did Matt Ryan go last year? He finished as the number 2 quarterback.
So let me say this, too. There's a guy on the board still. Yeah, there's a guy on the board still that I would have taken super high. Not super high, but I'm high on as quarterback, and he's going to go undrafted, and it's Josh Allen. He gives you such a floor with his legs, and he finished the season so strong that he has the potential to easily be a top 12 quarterback easy, and he won't go drafted.
What floors me is guys like Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Ben Roethlisberger, even Tom Brady is not drafted, but somebody took Kyler Murray in the 8th round. Now, I'm not sure why you think Kyler Murray is going to run more than Lamar Jackson. I don't see that. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I mean, people believe in the hype, but, and I don't mind taking Murray, but man, I don't take Murray in the 8th.
Murray went before Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. I mean, it's just, that's insane.
All right, so George, I think we should recap our teams, and I think then we will call this one a day.
Go for it.
All right, George. So on your team, you have Ezekiel Elliott, Keenan Allen, Damian Williams, Calvin Ridley, Mike Williams, Darius Geis, DK Metcalf, Daryl Henderson, Austin Hooper, Carlos Hyde, Justin Hill, Chris Herndon, the LA Rams, Giorgio Taviccio, and Kirk Cousins. And my team consists of Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Marlon Mack, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Chris Carson, Golden Tate, Corey Davis, Russell Wilson, Kiki QT, Paris Campbell, Malcolm Brown, Jordan Reed, Harrison Butker, and the Minnesota Vikings. So, is there a team here that you absolutely dislike? And I think we're going to both say Esobar again.
So I'm going to go Esobar just because he waited way too long for his running backs. He took. Listen, I like Rashard Penny. I think he probably will end up being the starter in Seattle. I think you're going to see a timeshare between him and Carson, but I think Penny's okay as a secondary or even a flex running back. I like Miles Sanders, but there's a lot of mouths there. Jordan Howard is there. You got Miles Sanders. I'm trying to think who else they have. Josh Adams is there. There's just a lot of mouths in that backfield. It's not clear. At the end of the year, I think Miles Sanders will be the lead back there. He'll be the
yeah, but see back the lead the lead back in Philly is just another guy in a timeshare. So he could be he could very well get the bulk of the carry, the highest percentage of carries.
I think they haven't had a true three down back, and I think Miles Sanders actually can be a three down back. He was listen, this is a very weak running back class. I get that, but with that said, he's my number two running back in this class. So I think Miles Sanders can be a three-down running back. I think the problem in Philly is they haven't had a three-down running back since LeSean McCoy. So it's not like they had three-down running backs to use. They haven't. They've had to piece it together every year. I think they were hoping that Josh Adams would be something last year, and he just wasn't.
So, George, I think we're going to end up wrapping it up here because we went through all 15 rounds here.
Typically we only do like the first five or six, but this was good. We went through the whole draft.
So, George, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at BFTGpod. I'm on the Super app at BFTGEO. I'm on the Fantasy Life app at Geo.
All right, and you can find me at FLDrMilbarge on Twitter. You can go to our website, BFTGpodcast.com. You can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGDrMil. And guys, again, remember, Draft Night Out. Come check it out, draftnightout.com. We're going to be at SportsCon. We're going to have a booth at SportsCon. And then afterwards, we're hosting the fantasy football after party.
The official. Draft Night Out. It's the, official. It's the official draft party of SportsCon. SportsCon is one of our sponsors. We are the official representative of them at Draft Night Out at Topgolf in Dallas. If you're going to be in the area, visit us at draftnightout.com. If you use the promo code Sleeper, I believe you get 10% off your tickets.
Yeah, so guys, if you like the show, leave us a review, subscribe to Sleeper Wire, and we'll see you next time.